We all love a good hero story. And for the past decade, the Marvel juggernaut has dominated the movie scene. And not just the superhero movie scene, but the entire film industry. 10 years, 23 movies, $22.5 billion at the global box office. They have 4 movies in the top 10 highest grossing films of all time, with Avengers Endgame taking out the top spot with a whopping $2.8 billion made worldwide. One film. And there's no sign of slowing down with another 10 films currently in production, and that's not to mention all the TV series they're making with Disney+. So it got me thinking, how has Marvel become the phenomenon that it has? What is it that they're doing that has enthralled viewers, including myself, over the last 10 years? Why do we love a good hero story? And what makes a hero? So the question, why was it Spider-Man? I want to ask a similar question. Why Jesus? Why did it specifically have to be Jesus? I want to go back to Spider-Man for a sec, because I think one of the reasons Spider-Man has become such a beloved and enduring character is because he's so relatable. He's just this kid who's trying to balance school and home life, all whilst being a superhero and trying to do the right thing. And now I know the chances are that none of us are fighting crime on our weekend as a masked web-slinging superhero, but we all know what it's like to try and balance different responsibilities, all at the same time. And Jesus had a bit of a balancing act to do, because he had 2 very distinct natures. He was both fully God and fully man, the God-man. And as we come to look at the Christmas story, we see a moment known as the incarnation. The incarnation. If you've never heard of it before, that's all right. The word incarnate is a Latin term that literally translates to in the flesh. The incarnation is the moment where God comes to earth as a human. John 1:14 says this, "The Word became flesh." It's talking about Jesus. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." God left his heavenly home and made his dwelling among humankind. This is a huge deal. God, the creator and sustainer of the entire universe, the one who put the stars in their place, the one who speaks galaxies into existence, the one who set time itself into motion, humbly comes to earth as a human to dwell with us? A being so powerful humbles himself to become a human. And it's where he gets his name, Emmanuel. It means God with us. It's big news. God has arrived. The hero has come. He's here. And yet, as we can see behind us, there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare when the God of the universe came to town. He was born a baby to a teenage girl in a no-name town with a bunch of stinking animals and some shepherds who probably wouldn't have smelt too much better themselves. No money, no status, laying in a farm animal feeding trough. And this is supposed to be the hero of the story? God, you created the entire universe. You realize, right, you can choose any way that you want to arrive. Palace, riches, you could have skipped the whole baby part. Had a big parade and a banquet so that everyone knows that you're here. So why do you choose to come this way? As a baby, born to a virgin. Because there's actually a method to what at first glance appears to be God's madness. So there's this issue in the world. It's called sin. And sin separates all of humanity from God. It's broken the perfect relationship that we were supposed to have with him. So God needed a way to fix that issue because the Bible tells us that the punishment for sin is death. So for us to be free of sin, we would need someone who is sinless to take the punishment of death for us. Yet, no ordinary human is sinless. In Romans 5:12, says this, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all people, because all have sinned." It's saying that all people on earth have inherited this sin nature, and that none of us are perfect. So in essence, we can't save ourselves. Which, luckily for us, is where God comes in. God puts his hand up and says, "I will take the punishment of sin on myself." But God, by the very virtue of being God, is incapable of dying. Because God's very nature is eternal, therefore making death an impossibility. So what must he do to take our sin? He must become fully human. So the virgin birth. For God to maintain perfection, he had to not inherit the same sin nature that the rest of humanity has. In Leviticus, God tells his people in chapter 17 that the life of every creature is in its blood. That's why every time the Israelites would make an animal sacrifice for their sins, they would shed the blood of the animal, because life is in the blood. And I find it amazing the way God chooses to work. Did you know that your blood type is genetically passed down from your mother and father? Yet once conception takes place, the blood from the mother and the child never mix. It's one of the main roles of the placenta, to make sure that the blood of the child, the unborn child, and the mother never mix. And this miraculous conception of Jesus was to ensure that he would never inherit the sin-tainted blood of mankind. It's why it's important that God was born of a virgin. Rather, he would have perfect blood, and this makes Jesus unique. He's the only hero for the job. He's both fully God, fully man, the only hero who could fix the problem of sin once and for all. He is Jesus, and his arrival through the means of the virgin conception is why we celebrate. Because he has come far from home to do what only he can do, to do what only a God-man can do, and that's bring us back into relationship with God. So, the Christmas story. Just like Spider-Man asking the question, what if all this is real? What implications does that have for us? What if it's not an illusion? What if it's reality? For so many people today, the Christmas story is just that, a nice story. It fits into the same category for them as comic books and the movies. It's a nice tale to tell and retell. But you have to admit, it does sound a bit crazy. A story where the God who creates everything that we can see, touch, and experience decides to write himself into human history and come as a child? It does sound like your typical premise of a comic book narrative. Jesus' story fits the mold of all our favorite heroes. But Jesus is different. Because he was the original hero who set the blueprint of what it means to actually be a hero. The difference is that Jesus' story is no illusion. It's not a work of fiction. It wasn't conceived in the mind of Stan Lee or some other famous author. The Christmas story is real. It's as real as it gets. It's a historical event. There's more evidence for Jesus than any other historical figure of his time. Even people who opposed Jesus' claims to godhood still wrote about him. No credible historian today can deny Jesus' existence. And Jesus made it very clear who he was. John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. John 8:58, he says, Before Abraham was born, I am. When others would say, here is what is true, Jesus says, I am the truth. When people said, here's how you find life, Jesus says, no, I am the life. Jesus makes it very clear that he truly is God in human flesh. When people say, oh, Jesus never made claims to be God, they're not reading the same Bible I am. Jesus makes it very clear. So what does this mean for us? If it's not an illusion, if it's not made up, what does this mean for us? In its simplest form, this is what it means. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God says, "I love people so much that I'm willing to leave my home behind. I'm willing to leave eternity behind. I'm willing to take on human flesh so that I can restore my relationship with humanity once and for all." When we think of the sacrifice God made, so often we think to the cross. But this Christmas, we're able to celebrate because God made a sacrifice, a massive sacrifice when he came to earth, at the birth of Jesus, when he left everything behind to pursue people, to pursue you and me, to pursue our family and our friends, to pursue our country and the entire world, because that is how much God loves people. If you were God, would you give up your eternal state for a sinner like me? I don't think I could do it. But praise God, because he's not like us. He makes decisions that we wouldn't make. And his response in the midst of our sin and shame was and still is love. The greatest love of all. That's God's response to us. To come far from home, to be the God-man, to sacrifice it all because he loves you. Each and every one of you. That's no illusion. That's no work of fiction. It's no comic book story. No, it's real. God's love is real and you can experience it today. 1 John 4. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son. That's God's response to us. This Christmas, how are you going to respond to God? Because God gave the greatest gift of all, himself, the God-man, Jesus. Let me pray. God, thank you that you are greater than anything that we can imagine, anything we can conceive in our minds. God, you are greater. And no matter how perfect you are, you still thought that we were valuable enough to come to earth, to dwell among us, so that we could have relationship with you. God, we are so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for what you've done. And this Christmas, would we remember that you gave it all for us. In Jesus' name, amen.